good? There we go. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. It is good to be home. Thank you for allowing me to upset the apple cart a little bit this morning and for your willing participation. I hope you found that prayer time to be a blessing. I know in our group, it was just great to hear what's going on in people's lives, for people to share a little bit, and for us to pray together. That's what church is all about. So that's the way we view it, and so you can kind of expect those things if you're going to hang out here. But it's just good to be home. I've been gone for a couple weeks and went with our family, and we kind of traveled as gypsies all over the United States, went out west, drove forever, went through the beautiful but barren state of Wyoming. I don't know if any of you have been to Wyoming. It's the weirdest place in the United States, maybe on planet Earth. I mean, it's like, it's beautiful, and then there's nothing. All right, bit of trivia here. How many escalators are there in the state of Wyoming? 2, 5, or 10? What do you think?
Two.
Man, how many of you guys must all watch Jimmy Fallon or something. Two. Two escalators in the whole state of Wyoming. It's crazy. It's the 10th biggest state, 10th largest state, and there's like half as many people as in the whole, in the greater Jacksonville area. So that tells you anything. So if you're driving through there and like your car breaks down or something, you might as well just write your obituary right then, because you're not going to see anyone forever. It's hot as fire, or it's freezing cold if it's in the winter. And so it's nuts, but it was awesome. Eventually, we made it to a place where we had Wi-Fi, so we were able to join you guys for a service a couple weeks ago when Pastor Scott shared from Experience Church. It was just awesome to hear his testimony. Then Leonard last week sharing about the gospel and the resurrection and continuing in 1 Corinthians 15, which I'm going to jump into in just a minute. And I know time is short, but I'm going to do my best to kind of move us a little bit forward in chapter 15. So just bear with me. In this series, we've been talking about the fact that we are the church. Paul is confronting the Corinthians on a number of issues. He says, remember, you are the body of Christ. It's about each of you following Jesus, and Jesus has to be the center. So that's what he keeps coming back to. Like, Jesus has to be the center of your life, and Jesus has to be the center of the church, because you are the church. So if you get off center, then the church gets off center. And that's kind of what happened in Corinth, is that they got a bit off center, and so Paul's got to bring correction to them, all right? And so throughout the book, we've seen him do that time and time again. He's like, we need Jesus, okay? Jesus has to be center. We here today, 2017, Jacksonville, Florida, sitting in this room, we need Jesus. We all need Jesus. We're all messed up in a bunch of ways. We're all sinners. Whether you believe it or not, we're all sinners. And like I always say, if you don't believe it, just turn to someone next to you who knows you. They will confirm the fact that you are a sinner. All right, so you need Jesus. I need Jesus. Not some historical figure that lived 2,000 years ago that we read about. We need the living God, right? That we were praying to, that we were worshiping, the one who died for our sins, who rose, who ascended, who sends his spirit. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's the Jesus that we need. That's the Jesus I hope you have faith in. That's the Jesus I hope that you walk with. That's the Jesus that Paul knew. That's the Jesus he preached about. Leonard talked about the fact in the beginning of chapter 15, how Paul said, the gospel is central, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And when he rose, it wasn't just a few people who saw him. He said, Peter saw him. Then the 12. And then he says, then more than 500 people at one time saw Jesus. And then Paul says, and I saw him as well. And so, and all this was written during the time when those people still live. So people could have, you know, certainly said, no, this is all a fallacy. But no, they saw him. He was alive. And then he ascended before their eyes. And Jesus, who resurrected, lives today. And he resurrects our lives as we turn to him and as we follow him. And so the resurrection of Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. Everything hinges on that. You remove the resurrection and it's like the losing move in Jenga, right? You ever play that? And the whole tower crumbles. I mean, you take away the resurrection and everything just unwinds and falls apart. So Paul's reminding the Corinthians about the resurrection of Jesus And then he confronts them about some personal beliefs and some teaching that's going on in the church, because some people were teaching that there's no resurrection of the dead for people. Okay, so this is what Paul's confronting. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to look at verses 12 to 19. It says, "But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we've said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection from the dead. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who've died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world." Let's pray. God, in the short time that we have, I pray that by your Spirit you'd speak to us. God, thank you that you already have. I pray that you would continue as we look at your word. Wake us up. Help us to focus on what you're saying to us. And God, pray that we would leave this place changed in some way. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, so Paul confronts the Corinthians who are teaching that there's no resurrection from the dead. There's no bodily resurrection for people. And he says, listen, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ wasn't raised, okay? And if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, then our whole faith just unwinds, because it's all set on that. He goes, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then your faith is useless because you're believing a lie. Not only that, all these apostles, they were perpetuating this lie, telling people. They were persecuted for a lie, ultimately killed for a lie. I mean, who would die for a lie that they know is a lie? He goes, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, your faith is useless and you're still stuck in your sins. And not only are your sins not forgiven, that means everybody who died is ultimately lost, because it takes the death of Jesus to cleanse us and the resurrection for regeneration to take place. So he goes, if the resurrection isn't true, then we're all lost. And look at verse 19, 1 Corinthians 15. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. Now, why would he say that? Why would we be more pitied than any other person? It's because we've given our life to this. We've kind of staked our claim that this is true. See, it's not just, oh, I put my faith in Jesus, go on with my life. The whole message of the scripture and the gospels is deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. And so we commit our life to following him. And if it's a lie, then we've just wasted life. If it's just about what we have here and now, then we've missed all of these things that we could be doing just to satisfy our carnal desires. Because we'd be pitied more than all men. Apostles would have faced persecution for no reason. They would have died for no reason. Now remember, all of this is stemming from this issue that some people were saying there's no resurrection from the dead. All right, so the question before us today is, do you believe, not just in the resurrection of Jesus, okay, that's important, but do you believe in the resurrection from the dead? Because these people didn't. And that's why Paul takes issue and he brings this teaching. Do you believe that when you breathe your last breath on this earth, it's not the end, it's really only the beginning? See, he wasn't asking, do you believe that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? Okay, that's truth. But do you believe that one day there's going to be a bodily resurrection? There's going to be a bodily resurrection. You're not going to be some spirit floating out there, cloud hopping, woo, you know, get wings, that kind of thing. All right? That's touched by an angel. That doesn't happen, right? That's not the Bible. See, we'll go to be with the Lord. We'll be present with him. But when he returns, there's going to be a bodily resurrection. Now, I don't know what that's going to be like. We saw, you know, when you read the scripture, Jesus, he was still like Jesus. I mean, he still had the scars, but there were some crazy things going on. Like the disciples were all in a room, doors were shut and locked, and Jesus kind of just like, man, just strolled right through the wall, walked in the room. He just kind of there. And so it's not a body as we know it. It's a resurrected body. It's a heavenly body. We don't know what it's going to be like, but it's going to be real. and you're going to know one another, and we're going to actually do things. And you read the book of Revelation, and I know it's crazy, and you go through, man, I don't know what it's saying, but get to the end, and there's a new heaven, there's a new earth, and there's no more death, and there's no more pain, and there's no more dying. None of these struggles, the momentary struggles that Glenda talked about, will have no more. But what do you believe about the resurrection? What do you believe about this life? Do you firmly believe that when you die, you will be with God and that ultimately you'll be resurrected? See, I think most of us, if we're going to be honest, even as Christians, most of us don't take time to really think about death. You know, like, when was the last time you actually really just kind of sat and thought about what it's going to be like when you die? Like that you will no longer be here. Like if you were to die today, what would that be like? Not being with your family and your friends. Like, have you ever just sat and kind of confronted your mortality? And you might be thinking, now Vic, that's a morbid thought, man. I don't want to be thinking about death. What are you doing here? This is supposed to be like, I come in here, I'm supposed to be encouraged. And I'm just trying to help us deal with reality. You know, they say the two things that are guaranteed, death and taxes. I don't know about that because some of you don't pay taxes. But but sin and death, is that those are two, okay? We're all sinners and we're all going to die. What's going to happen? That's the question. See, when you take time to think about death and confront the very thing that we're all destined to face, you might actually find a whole new lease on life. I believe it was Saint Benedict who said, keep death always before your eyes. See, because when you do, you realize that this life is temporary. And there is something eternal. And it changes the way you live. It changes what's important to you. It changes your priorities. Roxanne and I went to a memorial service yesterday. A friend of ours, 47 years old, died of breast cancer. Was diagnosed in September. Passed away July 5th, I believe. And you know, we love the testimonies of healing, hearing of Glenda, hearing of Travis, who's in my prayer group, and love for him to share his story sometime. But those stories of healing aren't always the stories, right? And God is God, and his ways are not our ways, and we don't fully understand. But we need to know that this life, it's not the end game. There's something more. There's something better. There's something so far beyond what we experience here. We should be living for that. And that's Paul's focus here. He goes, there is a resurrection. Jesus rose, and you're going to rise again sometime when he returns. Look at Hebrews 2, verses 14 to 15. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying, listen to this, could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Verse 15, only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Wow. So Jesus came in the flesh, born as a baby, lived that perfect life, died so that he could break the power of the devil who had the power of death, and he holds people captive with that fear. Before I became a Christian, before I started following Jesus, I was so afraid of death. And even as a teenager and in my early 20s, I didn't think about it much, but I'm going to tell you, I did a lot of stuff to try to help myself not think about it, right? I ran after all kinds of things because I didn't want to deal with that reality that one day I'm going to breathe my last breath. What's going to happen? What's this life all about? That whole meaning of life. And so I chased after so many things that were really just killing me. And then when I came to know Jesus, had an encounter with Jesus. Now, Paul, who is writing this, he had an encounter with Jesus. This is the guy who was hunting down Christians, putting them in prison, approving of them being murdered, and all of a sudden he's on a road one day and he gets knocked to the ground and he has this supernatural experience and he says, Lord, who are you? I'm Jesus, I'm the one you're persecuting. Oh, And he gets up and everything changes from that day. He goes from persecuting and killing Christians to telling people about this Jesus. His life was changed. If you meet Jesus, the one I'm talking about, the living God, your life's changed in some way. We don't all have the same story, but you got to have some kind of story. Again, we're not talking about some religion and believing in some historical figure. We're talking about the one who said, come to me, all you who are weary and tired, and I'm going to give you rest. I will abide with you. It's about a personal relationship. You have to have your own face-to-face, so to speak, moment with God. You don't need me. You don't need a priest. You don't need anyone. You just need to come before God and say, God, I believe, and if you're there, come and fill my life. And I'm going to tell you something. Something happens. My life was changed. Now, I want to ask you, have you been set free from the fear of dying? Because that's what it says in Hebrews. That's why Jesus came. Set people who've been captives to the fear of dying. Have you been set free from the fear of dying? And I want to tell you, if I answer that question honestly, my answer would be sometimes. Most of the time. See, there's, you know, it's not like what do you believe? You know, what are you, you know, what's your tenets of faith? I mean, it's like, really? Like when you're faced with it, you get that diagnosis or you hear other people, I mean, are you really set free from that fear? And I would say most of the time I am. When I'm close to Jesus, when I'm spending time in his word, when I'm where I should be, I'm good, man. I mean, seriously, there's times where like, I just know that he's with me. He's answered prayers. I've seen miracles happen. And you could take a gun to my head and say, renounce your Lord, and I'd say, pull the trigger. Now, there's other times where I have drifted from center, maybe haven't been spending as much time with God, and what happens is your heart and your affections start getting attached to the things of this world. And so your stuff becomes important to you. What people think about you becomes important. And as you get so attached to the things of this world, which are all temporary, and any one of them can be taken away like that, when I get so attached to that, and then all of a sudden, I start to fear those things get taken away. I start to fear that my life would be gone. And that's when that fear sets in. See, that's why we're supposed to set our affections on things above. This whole world is passing away. James said, your life is but a mist here today and gone tomorrow. So when I drift, the desires of this world creep in. And there's times where, man, I feel like Esau, like I would sell my birthright for a bowl of soup, you know? Like, you just, oh, I got to have that, I got to have that. And God's going, do you really need that? And I'm so caught up in this world, and I got to have that. And all of a sudden, I'm attached to things that are all temporary. And at any moment, they could be gone. And it's in those moments that fear sets in. It's in those moments where we fear, what if we lose it? Our focus should be on him, the one who came, who died, who said, I love you, who rose from the dead to show that he is God and has the power of life and death. And he goes, follow me. Enjoy the life that you have, but live it in service to him and loving one another. You do that, life becomes very, very beautiful. But like you, if I'm going to be honest, there's times where I get scared. We went to the Grand Canyon. On our way to the Grand Canyon, we stopped at this little place. And I'm not sure, I think it was on Indian Reservation or something. It wasn't a national park. It was some kind of park. I think it was called like Your Life is in Your Own Hands Park. And so we go in there, and I have a fear of heights. And you go in there, and I'm not kidding you. I cannot exaggerate this anymore. You walk, you know, get out of the car, and you walk over there, and there's like a fence keeping you from this sheer like 1,000, 2,000 foot cliff. Well, the guardrail is like a post with one bar about this high and another one about this high. And there's people with little kids. And I'm just like, as soon as I get out of my car, like I'm like, get my kids, like, all right, everyone. Like, because when I walk up there, I'm freaking. I mean, I'm afraid of heights anyhow. But I go up there and I'm like, oh my gosh. And then there's one section where like some of the rock gave way. And they put like some metal there, and there's like those orange cones, like stay away from there. Like, I mean, and there's nobody around. I feel like I was in Guatemala or something. And I was really like, I mean, like having a physical like fear thing, and my kids were all laughing at me, you know, and I'm like, look at me, man of faith, right? And I'm like, and we actually talked about it, and I thought, what do I fear? Now, don't be stupid, right? Don't be the guy who goes, I'm going to walk this ledge because God is sovereign, and he's, you know, don't do that. I mean, God, he doesn't want you to be stupid. But if we really believe this to be true, should I be freaking out like that? Because, I mean, seriously, I'm thinking crazy thoughts in my head, like, what if a big wind comes? I'm a heavy guy, right? What if a big wind comes? Like, where is my faith? Listen, I know none of you have any experiences like this at all. It's all me. But when you're faced with your mortality, that's when you find out what you really believe, right? Paul, this is amazing, Philippians 1:20-24. I would hope that one day I would have faith like this. Paul writes, for I fully expect and hope that I'll never be ashamed, but that I'll continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. Verse 21, for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Now, look at that attitude. Like, I know it's so much better for me to be with Jesus, but to stay here and serve and to share the good news with people. He's like, I'd rather stay here because God can use that. But he goes, I know it's better for me to be with him. And that's my prayer, that our faith would get to that point that we really believe Jesus rose and there is a resurrection of the dead that's promised to all of us. When he returns, final judgment will take place and we'll live with God forever. A new heaven and a new earth. Far better than anything we could ever experience here. Levi, if you come back up. Paul's life was given to loving others. He didn't have this fear of death. He was trying to tell them, listen, if the resurrection didn't take place, then it's all worthless. But after all of that, he goes, you take away the resurrection and it all unwinds. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 20-23. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first of the great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. And look at this, then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. That's a promise. That's a promise, and we should hold on to that. He was raised first, and he broke the power of death, and he takes away that fear. We don't have to fear it anymore. And when he returns, as he promised he would, we'll all be raised as well. Think about Jesus' words to Mary and Martha after Lazarus, their brother, had died, and they were distraught. And that's the point where we see in the scripture where it says Jesus wept. I mean, their heart is broken. Now listen, I don't want to talk about dying flippantly, like our hearts don't break in those moments. But there's the pain of the loss that we have here on earth. I mean, they were pained. They were distraught. And that's where the moment says, it says in the scripture, Jesus wept. So God's heart breaks when our hearts break over those things, because this is not the way that God intended for the world to be. He didn't desire for sin and death to be a part of his creation, but it is. So his heart breaks with us when our hearts break, but there's a hope beyond this world. And so Jesus says to Mary and Martha in that moment, John 11:25-26. Jesus told her, I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? That's the question. If you'll stand with me, I want to pray for us. And we're going to sing one last song. If you desire, there's communion on either side of the room up front here. If you want to just remember that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and break that bread and have a moment with God, I invite you to do that. But let's just take a moment and pray. And maybe you want to sit and just reflect as a song is sung and maybe join in, but let it be our prayer. God, I pray that our eyes would be open to the fleeting existence we have on this planet. God, that we would love the people who are around us, that we would share your love with them, knowing that this is temporary, but there's something eternal. God, that we would desire for the people we know to know you so they might have that eternal life. God, I pray that we would believe that you are the resurrection and the life. And life beyond this world is real. God, that we invest our time, our resources, our gifts into that life, that we may experience that life with you and peace here and freedom of that fear of death. God, thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.